All right, Chris, the 2017 ACC tournament is complete and the champions are due. Before we get down into the breakdown of tonight's game, we want to thank our sponsors who made our coverage throughout the week possible. First, we have to mention our presenting sponsor, a major Duke fan himself, Jerry Carter, with the cottages at Worth's Landing. I don't know if his sponsorship helped deliver the win or not, but we're going to say why not, so that he sponsors everything we do. Jerry, we have some confetti coming for you. The press area was littered with confetti, so Chris and I are both covered in it. You can hear the festivities going on behind us here at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. So we want to, again, thank the cottages at Orca's Landing. Enjoy abundant sunshine and island life any time of the year in Washington State. Book your reservation now at thecottagesatorcaslanding.com. I want to give a shout out to our additional sponsors of our coverage here from Brooklyn, 340clothing.com, dragonflybeach.net, and our friends at Awesome Wrestling Entertainment. You can check them out at officialawe.com. Okay, Chris, business stuff aside, this game was a lot closer than a lot of our friends in the Shenandoah Valley predicted. Did anything about tonight's game surprise you?
No. These were two teams evenly matched. Duke is the first team to win an ACC tournament championship playing four games in 4 days. But with a 15-team league, I don't think they'll be the last. This is such a deep league this year. What surprised me was that for the third day in a row, Duke comes back from a big second-half deficit. They came back from a 12-point deficit to beat Louisville in the quarterfinals 2 days ago. Last night, down 13. In the second half to beat North Carolina, and then tonight they were down 8 points midway through the second half. Notre Dame was down 9 themselves in the first half and came back and actually took a 56-48 lead about 11 minutes to go in this game. And it really felt like Notre Dame had this one almost in control, I say, because Notre Dame actually had two possessions after that basket shot. A V.J. Beachum dunk with 11:22 to go that gave them that 8-point lead. Two possessions where they could have been sent to lead to double digits. They did not get back to the first two. Duke went down, cut the lead to 4, and you just knew at that stage it was going to be a tight game to finish things out. And, what I would say is that as this game, and that started a 15-4 run for Duke. That turn and defense again is the key here. This Duke team has been maligned for its lack of defensive presence this year. But the 15-4 run that ended with Duke with a 63-60 lead, that was Notre Dame scored again with 4:55 to go. We're talking about an almost 7-minute stretch of this game where Notre Dame scored 4 points. And as much as, again, the offense gets, and everybody focuses on offense, you focus on who scores points, but Duke took control of this game over that long stretch with solid defense again. And that's what's got to scare teams now as we get ready for NCAA tournament play. This Duke team, clearly, they've won 4 games in 4 days. They beat 3 teams that are probably Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four type teams in Louisville, North Carolina, and Notre Dame. But it's that this Duke team is hitting on offensive cylinders. They've got Jason Tatum, Luke Kennard, and Grayson Allen all hitting baskets, scoring consistently, but playing defense the way they are. This Duke team can be dangerous. And, I said it before in our pregame broadcast. I also said it at halftime. This Duke team, the preseason number one team in the country, had really not played like it all season long. For 4 nights here at the Barclays Center, they played like that preseason number one team. And now the question is, can they continue that next week? And, I can't see any reason why they can't.
Right. It's getting loud in here as post-game festivities continue. Right now they're doing a tribute to Duke up on the big screen. Coach K just literally cut down the net. For anybody who's ever been to an ACC tournament, that's part of the process. Chris, we got the stats here for the all-tournament team as well. Luke Kennard from Duke is named the MVP. First team also include Jason Tatum, Luke Kennard, Isaiah Hicks, Bonzi Colson from Notre Dame, clearly, throughout. And that's one thing we want to mention about Bonzi Golson. Despite the fact that Notre Dame did not come off with the win tonight, what an outstanding game for this young man.
Oh, man. 29 points in this game for Notre Dame. Obviously, if Notre Dame wins the championship, he's the MVP of this. 12-21 from the floor. Hit big shot after big shot. You know, after that long run by Duke, they gave Duke a three-point lead. He hit a three with 2:27 to go to tie this game back up at 65-65. After a long stretch where Notre Dame couldn't score, Colson was the guy that just whenever they needed a big shot, he hit the big shot for Notre Dame. Kept him in the game in the first half. He had 14 in the first half when no one else from Notre Dame was scoring baskets consistently. He went down briefly with an ankle injury. We saw him. He was in some pain over there, but came back after a TV timeout, a media timeout, and game through, and give him credit for that. Honestly, I thought Luke Kennard, yeah, he put up some stats, but Jason Tatum was the best player on the floor this whole week for Duke. Tonight, 19 points, 7 of 11 from the field, 8 rebounds, played 39 minutes in this game. And really, down the stretch, he was the guy that made the big plays that won this game for Duke. When you look at, after Colson's three tied the game at 65, Tatum got fouled, driving the basket, made one of two free throws, put Duke back on top by one. After another Notre Dame miss, then Tatum drives to the basket, scores a tough contested layup with 1:35 to go, to push the lead to three. Matt Farrell goes down, gets fouled, makes two free throws, 1:15 to go. Back to a one-point game. Now, Frank Jackson, the shot of the tournament, three-pointer with 3 seconds on the shot clock, 48 seconds to go in the game, pushes the lead back to four. And all of a sudden, you go from a one-point game to a two-possession game on one shot. Now, Notre Dame came back. A nice drive to the basket by Matt Farrell. He finds V.J. Beachum for a dunk, streaking down the middle of the floor for a dunk. And 32.1 seconds left, we have a two-point game again. Notre Dame only had 3 team fouls at that stage, and so that's a disadvantage. You know, in the NBA, in the last 2 minutes of a game, no matter how many team fouls you've got, if you have 2 fouls in the last 2 minutes, you can put a guy on the line, put a team on the line. Well, Notre Dame needed to foul and foul a lot to try to do that. Duke took advantage. After one of the fouls, Notre Dame was kind of pressed up trying to stop the clock with a foul, and Duke sent Jason Tatum long, kind of like a tight end going down the seam, and found him. He breaks away for a dunk, got fouled as he was dunking the ball, finished out the three-point play, and that was essentially the ball game. Tatum really making the big plays down the stretch. He's so hard to guard. You know what you have with Duke when you have Kennard and Allen playing the way they have the last 3 days? Those two guys are effective driving the ball to the basket. They're effective, of course, shooting the three-point shot. When you got Jason Tatum playing the way he is, this Duke team is a Final Four team. And that said, you know, they're getting what they got from Emile Jefferson. Jefferson tonight, 7 of 8 from the floor. 14 points for Jefferson, the graduate student senior coming back from injury last year. Seemed like his career might have been over with that injury he had last year. Has a huge game tonight, winning his ACC tournament for Duke. And Allen tonight, kind of quiet, 10 points, 4 of 9 shooting. But he did have 4 assists, 6 turnovers for Allen. Actually, I didn't realize that stat until I just looked over there. And that was a big part of this game, too. Notre Dame shoots 40.3%. Duke shoots 60.8%. And this game still comes down to the last minute because Notre Dame turned 12 Duke turnovers into 20 points, a 20-5 advantage for Notre Dame in points off turnovers. That could be an issue for Duke. That's the one thing. You've got a lot of individual players, a lot of one-on-one play. When you look at the stats tonight, 11 assists on 31 baskets, what that suggests to you is there's a lot of, you know, they're talented one-on-one players. But when you can get overly reliant upon that, and when you do that, you can commit turnovers. You can have guys, having some issues with that. So that could be the one issue for this Duke team. But the way they're playing defense, the way they played defense the last 3 days against very different teams, Louisville's a team that is so effective with their guards and small forwards driving the ball to the basket. North Carolina, obviously the best post team in the country. They stopped them in the post in the second half yesterday. And Notre Dame's a team that is effective, kind of like Louisville in a sense, where they can their guards can get to the basket, but they also finish really well at the rim. And Notre Dame, and Duke played good defense against all three. So this Duke team is finally maybe playing to their potential that we've been talking about all year long.
So, Chris, we were talking earlier in the evening, not in front of the camera, but we were talking about how this is, what, your eighth ACC tournament that you've been to?
11th I've been to, eighth as a media member.
All right, so eight that you've covered, 11 that you've been to. We've said this ACC this year is one of the strongest years as far as the number of teams going to the, you know, to the NCAA tournament. So my question to you is this. How did this final compare to the others that you've seen over the years?
You know, as soon as you start saying that, it reminds me, maybe the ACC back in 1995 only had 9 teams. Now there's 15 teams. But in 1995, there were 4, in my mind, that year, potential Final Four contenders. That year, the 95 year, was the year that Tim Duncan came out of could have come out as the number one pick. Joe Smith from Maryland was the number one pick in that draft. Rasheed Wallace and Jerry Stackhouse were 3 and 4 in that draft. That year, you had Virginia. Was a team that tied for the regular season championship. You had Wake Forest, you had Carolina. You had such depth that year in the ACC, and you ended up having 2 Final Four teams. I think this year, you know, I'm sure on TV, the Pac-12 championship game is on, Arizona and Oregon, and those are 2 teams that are top 10 teams, and that's going to be a hellacious game. And UCLA last night losing in the tournament semifinals. Those 3 teams are as good as any 3 teams in any other conference in the country. But maybe part of that is that, you know, when you go 4 below in the Pac-12, and really you go any other conference in the country, you go 2 or 3 or 4 below and go on down the rest of your conference, you don't have a lot of depth. This ACC, I mean, I look at a Pitt team that was 14th in the ACC. You put them in almost any other conference in the country, they're an NCAA tournament team. They lost 15 games in the ACC this year, 14 in the regular season, 1 in the tournament here. You know, you're going to have 10 teams out of the ACC get bids to the NCAA tournament. Wake Forest being probably the 10th team. Syracuse. Jerry Lunardi has both those teams on the among the last 4 teams to get bids and get in the tournament, which I presume means they'll play in that first 4 and have to play their way into the main field, if you want to say. But certainly the teams we saw play on quarterfinal Thursday, they're all NCAA tournament teams. And I think, you know, as far as potential Final Four teams, you know, I talked about Louisville, I talked about Notre Dame. I think legitimately North Carolina and Duke have to be looked at as favorites, if you want to say, as Final Four teams. The way Duke's playing right now, the way Carolina's played all season long, you know, I think you could see Louisville and Notre Dame as Sweet 16 teams. I think you can see Florida State as a Sweet 16 team. I think Virginia could be a Sweet 16 team. I'm hoping I'm not leaving anybody out there as teams of that nature. And I think once you get to the Sweet 16, you know, you're an upset away from playing for a Final Four slot. And I think any of those teams could, you know, the way the next rounds of this basketball season are played, you know, you can look at it a couple ways. Win 6 games, you win the championship. But actually, I don't think that the players and coaches think of it that way. They think, obviously, win 1 game and get to the next game, but The next 3 weekends are the key. You have to win 2 games to get to the next weekend. You win 2 more games, you get to the final weekend. You win 2 more games, you win a championship. And UNC and Duke are 2 teams that I can see winning their way through to a Final Four. Louisville, you know, I think they can at least get to that Sweet 16 round again. I think they could play their way into position. Matchups are important. I think Virginia needs some help with matchups. You look at potential number 1 teams, number 1 seeds out there. Villanova is a potential number 1 seed, for example. Virginia played them to the final buzzer. Don't overlook Virginia as a potential team that can sneak their way further down the line. So it'll be interesting. You know, I think the ACC, this is one of the better years. I don't know that our top team is a guarantee to win a national championship. You've seen some years where, boy, you know, a Duke team is so uber talented, or a Carolina team is so there that you'd be surprised if they didn't make it that far. But I think anyone who has gone through this grinder of an ACC season is ready for next week. And I think that any of those 10 teams that we have can win some games in the next couple of weeks and surprise.
So, Chris, you were there in 2014 when Virginia won the ACC tournament. I'm sure you wish that the confetti that fell tonight was orange and blue. But, again, our good friend Jerry Carter with the Cottages at Orca's Landing, I'm sure he is glad that it was some blue and white confetti for us tonight. We'll wrap up our coverage here. We'll be on the train tomorrow, actually, as Selection Sunday starts breaking down. But look for Chris Graham to bring you some analysis tomorrow night as far as Selection Sunday and how the teams in the ACC are going to fare, where they're going to play, all that good stuff. Right, Chris?
That's right. We'll focus a lot, of course, getting back to our regular reader base, Virginia, and its path. And one thing we'll definitely do is look at Virginia's first-round opponent. We'll look at their potential second-round opponent because, again, this tournament now turns into four-game pods, if you want to say, for the next few weekends. And so we'll break down Virginia's potential first two opponents. We'll look at the ACC as a whole, a little more across the board that way. But, Virginia looking at maybe, probably, in my mind, probably a 5 or even a 6 seed at this point in the NCAA tournament. Some projections have them as high as a 4. I really don't see that. I don't think they've earned a 4 seed. But either way, we'll break things down and get ready for, the action really starts. I think we may have one or two teams from the ACC playing on Tuesday or Wednesday, those what they call the first 4 games now, for fans who are still trying to catch up to those kind of things. The lowest 4 16 seeds, essentially, they're 16 and 17 seeds, play each other for playing in to play a number 1 seed, and then the last 4 teams to get at-large bids to make the field also play each other for a right to, I think they end up playing for 11 seeds. So that could actually impact Virginia. If Virginia falls to a 6 seed, they could end up playing one of those first 4 games, one of those first 4 teams, first 4 winners, which I think is a big disadvantage for that 6 seed. If you're Virginia tomorrow night or anybody tomorrow night, say you're the 5 seed somewhere and you're getting ready to play a 12, you have 4 days to prepare for that 12 seed, and they, of course, have 4 days to prepare for you. If you play a team that has to win either Tuesday or Wednesday and you play them either Thursday or Friday, you've got 2 days to prepare. All of a sudden, that's quick turnaround. So, but we'll break all that down for folks. There's a lot tomorrow night. Yeah, we'll be getting off the train probably as these announcements are made. I know Coach Bennett has a press availability right around 7 o'clock. I think that's unfortunate right when we're getting off the train.
Right.
But we'll be monitoring that afterwards. And then we'll start breaking things down.
All right, great. Well, live from the Barclays Center, we want to thank you for following our coverage throughout the week. Again, we want to give a shout-out to our sponsors. Yes, you can finally get some rest, right?
Yes, yes.
A shout-out to our sponsors once again, the Cottages at OrcasLanding.com. 340clothing.com, dragonflybeach.net, and officialawe.com. Thank you all for your coverage. We'll be back again tomorrow with Selection Sunday information. And I guess for now, we're live from the Barclays Center. There's a little more confetti for you, Jerry Carter. And I guess the final again was Duke 75, Notre Dame 69. Thanks.